You know, the job of a speaker is to stand up, speak up, and shut up. I'm pretty good at standing up. I'm really good at shutting up, but sometimes I have a hard time speaking up. And so I've asked several of you this morning, when I back away from the thing and talk too soft, that you will say, "Ken, step forward." Okay. Thanks for reading that. That's a long passage. Actually, that's our text for today's third event in Peter's life, where God shaped him over a lifetime. And let's get that first slide up there. See, when the Lord invites us to follow him, he invites us to escape from our little confined cave out into his bigger world. He'd got a big world out there. And the story we just heard about Cornelius and Peter is a good illustration of that. He invites us to step out our door and become something we are not yet. But he will make us become what we are not now. And he did that for Peter. By the way, several of you, how many of you were on the Mexico trip here just a couple weeks ago? You have experienced exactly what I'm trying to say. You stepped out of, "I love Chico, I love my house, I love my bedroom." You have stepped out of all of that and found that God's world is much bigger than we might have expected. And we get to be a part of that largeness. Next slide. The Lord shaped Peter over a lifetime. Now, some of you have been brave enough to persevere through three appearances of Ken. I commend you and promise you this is the last time for a while. In Luke 5, where they caught this giant catch of fish, the Lord invited Peter into a new kingdom. Instead of his own little kingdom of the fishing world, into a larger world of God's kingdom. Last week we talked about God inviting Peter beyond his own capacity. Last week was the story where Peter said, "I know how we're going to do it. I'm going to do it my way, and I have enough determination and conviction to carry through on my commitment." And in fact, he failed miserably, was restored, and invited into an entire new capacity for accomplishment, the Lord's capacity and not his own. The story we'll look at today, this one that Josh just read, is about 15 years after that story of his failure and restoration. During those years, Acts is an exciting book to read. So you might, I wish we had time to read the whole book of Acts. I tell you what, Luke was a good writer. It's an action book, and it's thrilling to read. Okay. Oh, and I wanted to mention on the bottom here, you see this, these steps going up. God shapes us over a lifetime, but often this is the process he will use to kind of leverage us out of where we're stuck into something else. It often begins with this feeling of dissonance or confusion or wondering what is God doing, and followed maybe by reflection, maybe insight from scripture, from internal sources, from friends. And then sometimes there's this, aha, I got it. We all experience this with a joke. The joke creates, and when you get it, you say, "Oh, I get it." But for Peter and for us, these ahas are life-changing turning points. We talked about two of them for Peter. This is another one. And when it works, it brings us into lasting change, enduring change. We are different people. We're not the same person we used to be. Okay, start working through this story. Now, next slide. Before Peter ever left Jerusalem, there was some preparation. Philip, one of the apostles, by the way, chapter 8 takes place after some severe persecution in Jerusalem. And In response to that, Philip and others moved out of Jerusalem and went up to Samaria. Now, Samaria brings all different kinds of things to mind. But Philip went up there and preached, and people responded. And so when the apostles, they had stayed in Jerusalem, they said they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. They sent Peter and John, two of the heavy hitters from the Jerusalem church, up to lay hands on those people so they too could receive the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 8. Sometime later in Acts 9, Peter seemed to kind of like getting out of the home office and out into the field. So he started to travel a little bit into some of the satellite churches. And as you experienced in Mexico, some pretty wild things happened. He healed a cripple. He raised Tabitha from the dead. That's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. I think maybe this whet Peter's appetite for his eventual journey to Rome. Now, that happens sometimes later. But at this point, the Lord is inviting people to Peter to step out of his little, when Jerusalem wasn't little, the church there was thriving, tremendous ministry that Peter had had for years. The Lord's inviting him out of that into something bigger. And guess what he finds? As he's on his way to his mission trip, he finds that, next slide, God was already there. Surprise, surprise. You know, we think we're going out there to do God's work, and we are, but God's already there. He was already there with Cornelius. So this is an unlikely guy to be noticed by God. He was oppressing God's people. He was a military guy, powerful, rich, had influence, and he longed for God. I don't know if he was Roman or he might have been Italian. Who knows? He was the Italian. It was a good enough regiment that it had a nickname. This is an effective military unit. He prayed daily, and God noticed. Isn't that nice that God notices people like this? Now, you read this story in the Bible and you think, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, stuff like that happened back in those days. If you have any friends working in the Muslim world overseas, this story is taking place all the time. People have visions of someone coming to their door with a book, and the next day someone shows up at their door with the Bible, and they meet the Lord. Now, you just heard this story read. What's interesting to me is God revealed a lot to Cornelius. He sent him his own messenger, an angel. Why didn't God just tell him the whole story and cut out this whole bit with Peter? I mean, he can reveal things. Why doesn't he do that for these Muslim believers? Why doesn't he just give them instant revelation? Something's going on here that is very interesting. Okay, next slide. While the Holy Spirit and the Lord were talking to Cornelius, they were also talking to Peter. This is a fascinating story. Like I say, this is about 15 years later. Do you notice the difference in Peter's prayer life? This is a different level of prayer than I think anything you read about in the Gospels. For one thing, he talks back to God. This is an interesting contrast. The Lord told Cornelius, send him. He said, I'll do it. He told Simon, eat these unclean foods. Oh, God, I don't do that. What do you mean, eat these unclean foods? I've never broken the kosher food laws my whole life. What are you talking about? These were distinctive laws that he had kept his whole life. They were part of his culture. They were part of his understanding of how God was working in the world, this whole set of distinctives. Next slide. I'm moving through this. Am I going too fast? You heard the story. When I was practicing, I read all this scripture. I got to the fourth slide, and I'd been talking for 15 minutes, and I thought, oh, Ken, pare it down a little bit. God's world was bigger than Peter thought. Even while he's praying and having this vision, Cornelius' envoys are knocking at the door. And at this point, Peter does something very cross-cultural, against everything he's grown up with and against what he understood of how God works. Look at that last line. He invited them in as his guests. Good Jewish boys and girls did not invite Gentiles into their home. Period. It was not done. It broke that distinction between the pure and the impure. It violated the clean and the unclean. They are supposed to be separate. Even by staying at Simon the Tanner's house, Peter had started moving out of his cave. Simon the Tanner dealt with dead bodies. And that was not a good thing for Jewish people. And do you guys ever drive by the slaughterhouse down here on 99? It's cleaned up pretty good now. But when I was a kid, you could smell that thing a long ways away. Peter's already started. He's got new friends. You know, this happens when I'd be interested to see the new friends that happened from the Mexico trip. Peter's got a new friend now. It's Simon the Tanner. He's staying at his house. And he breaks this cleanliness, this holiness taboo in his culture. And I think the next slide is the book is, oh no, that's not it. Something to look forward to. So he went. He went with these friends. Again, it was a couple, probably at least one overnight. This is a four-day event between Cornelius' friends and then coming back. He stayed in a hotel and had meals with these unclean people. And when he got there, how'd you like to do an evangelistic trip like this? I've done some evangelism stuff. There's usually not a whole room of people sitting around begging you to preach the gospel. But that's what happened here. See, God had arranged all that. God was already there, wasn't he? He was already there. Simon came inside, again, crossing cultural barriers. He preached, and unlike Samaria, where Simon had to go, Simon and John, they went and laid hands on the believers. They were the one that transmitted, if you will, the Holy Spirit. At least visually, it was through their hands. What happens here? Holy Spirit falls directly onto these unclean Gentiles. I don't know how God is really hammering this home to Simon. And this aha, pardon me, aha, I get it. God accepts anyone from any culture or people group who fears him and does what is right. Now, there's a mind blower. It certainly blew Simon out of the water from everything he understood and expected of who God was and how he worked. Now, you remember some of Jesus' last words to his disciples were this: you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Well, that makes sense. That's where God's people are. And Judea. Well, yeah, they're pretty close to us. And Samaria. Ooh. They're a mixed race. The Samaritans were mixed race, and their theology was kind of messed up, and they ate funny food. And where else? To the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. It took a lot to shape Peter into that. And it took a long time. See, Peter was there in Mark 7 when Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees about cleanliness and foods. And Jesus said, oh, food, it goes in your mouth, goes out your stomach, it comes out the backside. Food does not, it's what comes out of your heart that causes uncleanliness. Food rules are fine, but they do not create purity or impurity. This was 15, 18 years ago that Peter had heard that, and only now does he get it. Aha. Now I get it. When God told Abraham, I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing, and through you, who? All peoples. All peoples on the earth will be blessed. Now, this next slide is just for illustration. I'm not going to read this. It's Leviticus 11, and I highlighted some of the red. This is detestable. Don't eat that stuff. We're making a distinction between in the unclean. See, this was in their scriptures. This is Moses who wrote this stuff and heard it from God. But they had completely misunderstood the purpose of distinctive living. The purpose of distinctive living was to be a witness to the nations that God's people live different. It wasn't that you are your God's chosen people. In fact, you're the only chosen people. It's because you're so wonderful that he chose you, and because you do the right things. We can fall into that ourselves, but that is not true. That isn't the purpose. There's a whole sermon series on the meaning or the purpose of Old Testament prophecy and the law that Paul does a pretty good job of in the book of Romans, telling us what that means. Okay, this is what Peter figured out. God's not partial. Everyone who fears him and comes to him is acceptable. Amen. You know what? Peter went on. If tradition is right, he went on from here. It's fun to read the next couple chapters of Acts, because I think his decision here to break cultural boundaries probably cost him his job as the pastor of the Jerusalem church. When you get to Acts 15, James is in charge. From there, tradition tells us, Peter made his way to Rome, where he preached. You know, he's a little guy from Galilee. He's a fisherman. Preaching the gospel to Caesar in Rome. Man, God does, he does really strange things with us, doesn't he? And you remember last week, Peter said, I will die with you. I'm committed enough. I'll never forsake you. I will die with you. Well, he did in Jerusalem. It was many years later from when he made his determination. But God honored that, if you will. Tradition is that Peter was crucified in Rome upside down because he did not consider himself worthy to be crucified like the Lord. See, his instincts were right. He did give his life. And then the next thing is tradition. This is tradition, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But it, supposedly Mark, John Mark, who Peter said, Paul said, we're not taking him. He's a loser. Mark was likely Peter's translator in Rome. And probably the book of Mark is based on Peter's sermons. Now, see, God had a really big picture for Peter once he stepped outside his little cave into God's bigger world. Now, I have a slide here. This is a little academic, but it gives a illustration of what happens in this kind of thing. See, on the, what side is it? The left side, where there's this red boundary that describes, it's the boundary between who's in and who's out. You know, when you're in high school, junior high, or later in life, we have really clear boundaries that describe who is in and who is out. That's what's represented by that red line. Whether they're ethnic, whether they're cultural, whether they're theological, whether they're just practical. You know, I grew up in Richvale, pretty big town. When I brought Nancy there the first time, I said, well, our house is out of town, and she's from Oakland. And when we got there, she said, what town? My high school class graduation was 35. Hers was 1,900 people. Only 900, pardon me. I used to think San Francisco was Southern California. And even in my rice farming years, we talk about who knows where the east side is. It's the other side of the Sacramento River. Those rice growers on the east side, they really do things the wrong way. See, this is just common to being a human, is we have these boundaries that we've constructed that defines who's in and who's out. Peter had really tight boundaries, and God blew them up. That's what happened. God shifted Peter's thinking from this boundary to trajectory. It's a completely different way of looking at the world. Who is in for God are those who are moving towards him. It's responsiveness. Those who are responding to God, he sees people like Cornelius who are responding, and he gives them more. He reveals himself to him. This is a whole different way of thinking. I find it very difficult. Since leaving Richvale and marrying a big city girl, I have experienced lots of different cultural things. As I've been traveling, I have a watchword or a phrase like that goes like this. Anytime I think I know what's going on, I'm wrong. Almost always in a different culture, you don't know what's happening. Now, I force it into my mental construct, but I'm almost always mistaken. We have a sister here from Japan. She could help us understand from her perspective what our culture looks like and how it's very different. I've gotten to visit Japan a couple times. I love Japan. Especially I love Akita Komachi rice. It's really good. Or Koshikari. Okay, I think that's enough said about that. I'm gonna conclude here. Let's have this last slide. God's world is really big. He's already at work in this little shopping center in Chico. Cornelius and his family and his friends, God's already at work with them. We don't have to manufacture it. We just gotta go. Now I asked earlier, why didn't God just tell Cornelius the answer? Do you see the mutual transformation going on here? God could have just given Cornelius a tract, and he could have sent Simon Peter to cultural anthropology class, but that's not, God affects mutual transformation by serving in his kingdom. Cornelius and his friends and his family are out there waiting. Let's go find them.